Great Controversy, page 570. First paragraph on the page says, if we desire to understand the determined cruelty of Satan manifested for hundreds of years, not among those who never heard of God, but in the very heart and throughout the extent of Christendom, we have only to look at the history of Romanism. Through this mammoth system of deception, the prince of evil achieves his purpose of bringing dishonor to God and wretchedness to man. You know, that's one thing I've always noticed, and it was one of the things, I think it was the very first time when I was reading the Bible in the Catholic Church where my eyes literally almost came out of their sockets when all of a sudden this truth lit up before me. And I thought, wow, makes perfect sense. The devil wants to be a god. This planet is where he was tossed, the only planet in the universe. Since he wants to be a god, he's going to emulate all that he can of God, right down to his control. Well, God doesn't really control. He gives us free will, but he will bless us and guide us and keep us on paths if we are obedient to his will. Satan will do the same thing, as well as shove you on his path, you know, to keep you there. He'll use force, whereas our God won't. Big difference between love and hate. And so what struck me, was the mammoth system of deception. And it made perfect sense, because he's going to have to be able to deceive the entire planet. Because that's what the prophecy said is going to happen. And he is an angel, but he's not omnipresent, and so he's got a lot of his little demonic buddies running around doing their work, like the Bible says, like those little birds that come around. And that's why, yes, when you see that little girl getting possessed on camera using a Ouija board on YouTube, and she says it's like a little bird, and she says stuff like that, you know, yeah, that's more genuine than any video I've seen when it comes to actually demonic possession taking hold. So, because I used to mess with that stuff. But anyway, this thing with Rome and how they are and have been for thousands of years makes the scripture that much easier to understand too. And this is why my eyes opened up so widely that day, is because, yeah, it makes sense to have, the devil's going to have to set up shop on this planet somewhere. And when I was a young man, there's one thing that always annoyed me the most, to the point where it scared me at times, was the Cold War between Russia and the U.S. Because I knew they both had the nukes pointing at each other. But that really didn't bother me much, because I figured, well, it's not going to hurt much. Because I'm in the Chicago area, I know that's one of the first places you're going to get hit. So it's not going to hurt much. Might get a little warm for a split second, but, you know. The thing is, the Russians would come here and act like Americans, and the Americans would go there and act like Russians to infiltrate. And so it made perfect sense. The devil has to do the same thing. And then when all the puzzle pieces started falling into place in regards to the Vatican, they claim to be Christians. But Jesus says it's by their fruits you know them, right? These people have been killing hundreds of millions of people for thousands of years, molesting who knows how many children, twisting scripture to the point where now over 86% of the Roman Catholic doctrine is based in paganism. And because the lackadaisical way that they preach has caused over 1.2 billion people in today's statistics to actually declare it to be a safe church to be in. Because they're all about the power. They're all, you know, the pomp and circumstance. She goes on to say that as we see how he succeeds in disguising himself and accomplishing his work through the leaders of the church, we may better understand why he has so great antipathy. Never knew how to pronounce that word. So why don't we look it up? They haven't done this in a while, huh? I wonder if it's going to work, too, because I dumped Opera as a browser, and I'm trying to use Microsoft Internet Explorer, because I can actually push the temp files to a RAM disk. Opera won't let you do it. Well, not easy enough. Okay, let's see how she says it. Now, this is going to be from Britain, because there is no other one.
Antipathy.
Okay. All right. And antipathy is like dislike. All right. So she goes on to say that if that book is read, the mercy and love of God will be revealed. It will be seen that he lays upon men none of these heavy burdens. All that he asks is a broken and contrite heart, a humble, obedient spirit. And when I came to that realization in the truth, and I'm sure some Buddhists, even Muslims, because I mean, how many times a day does a Muslim get down on their knees and pray on that rug? Well, most of them will say five. But how many is required? None of them know. Why? Because it's not a real religion. There is no basis in fact. There is no inspired truth. There is no way to verify that God has declared you should pray eight times a day. Or once. Or even suggest, as he does through David and Daniel, three times a day. Oh, there goes my phone. Hold on. Extreme alert. Tornado warning. Okay. Is that us? For us? Where's it at?
It's coming.
It's coming? Well, tell Luke to get downstairs. I don't want him upstairs.
Yeah, it's like down there more. It hasn't come to us yet, but obviously a tornado touched ground back.
Was you looking at the radar?
It didn't go over us yet, yeah. It's like right
well, it can't come over us if it's come from... The tornado always goes southwest. The storm itself is coming this way, though.
Right.
All right, let me know if the roof starts to wiggle. Probably going to lose some siding. Okay. I like the alerts. We have these tornado. Well, there are. I don't know if you can hear the. There goes our other one. The ringing lets us know of a warning. Anyway, going on. Keep it like if anybody is nearby. If you happen to be able to get on your knees, throw up a quick prayer for us. Like I said earlier, the Father knows where we're at. Amen. Time for a hedge. So as I was saying, when you look at the Catholicism or Buddhism or any of these other religions, they don't preach a broken and contrite heart or a humble or obedient spirit. They demand you do this. They demand you do that. Look at Roman Catholicism when it comes to, like Luther, one of the reasons he put up the 95 Theses, one of the things that got to him was climbing up that stairway or kneeling down on lima beans doing these novenas and the mass itself was mind-numbingly boring and it was just all routine. This isn't how God said to live and be happy. This is not his will. And that's one of the things that got me out of that church was because of that. Seeing that, you know, how easily it can be shown that the enemy of souls is going to do all he can to make you think you have to stay. Especially when the priests come up and act like they're gentle and loving and this is the right place to be, you know. It's, you know, the way it is. So she goes on to say that Christ gives no example in his life for men and women to shut themselves in monasteries in order to become fitted for heaven. And that's another thing that always got to me, too. Even as a teenager, I always was confused about it. And I was Catholic at the time. I says, you know, that don't make no sense to me. Okay, let's say you're in a Catholic church. You're going out romping and frolicking every chance you get. You're drinking this, you're drinking that, you're smoking that, you're smoking this. And all of a sudden, you decide to open up a Bible. You start reading it, and then you find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then you go in a monastery and you shut up. Now, that makes perfect sense for Catholicism, but no sense whatsoever for Christianity, because Jesus always says, go forth, doesn't he? I mean, that was one of the last things he said when he's ascending in front of the apostles. Baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You know, go forth, proclaim the truth. Catholicism says, no, clam up, shut up. So, again, Christ gives no example in his life. Christ gives no example in his life for men and women to shut themselves in monasteries in order to become fitted for heaven. He has never taught that love and sympathy. Hold on. The browser just crashed. See, that's why I don't like using Microsoft. All right. He has never taught that love and sympathy must be repressed. The Savior's heart overflowed with love. The nearer man approaches to moral perfection, the keener are his sensibilities. The more acute is his perception of sin, and the deeper his sympathy for the afflicted. And this is what gets us to go forth and to try to share our faith with others. We know what they're going through because we went through it. And so she says, the Pope claims to be the vicar of Christ. And by the way, the word vicar means to replace. But she says, but how does his character bear comparison with that of our Savior? Was Christ ever known to consign men to the prison or the rack because they did not pay him homage as the King of Heaven? No. Or look at the Muslims the way they do. If you don't become a Muslim, if you don't denounce Jesus Christ as Savior, they'll cut your head off. How is that from the same God of the Bible? How is that from any God that's supposedly a loving God that's going to grant you salvation and paradise? That's pure deception. And if you notice, someone just sent me a video the other day of a couple of young boys, beautiful young boys. They couldn't have been more than 10 or 11, declaring how they have a strong desire in their hearts to go forth and blow up Jews because their parents taught them that. Now think about this. When those kids are 19 or 20 years old and they're going forth to go out and kill people, how much ability would you have to convince them that they have been lied to? They ain't going to believe anything you have to say because mom and dad taught them this. Unless Christ has somewhat of a seed in their heart somewhere, some way, there's no way it's going to get watered. And Rome is going to make sure that they're steered clear, far from any kind of Christianity whatsoever. And any time Christianity gets anywhere near them, they're going to kill you. Well, if the Lord allows. Because we all know about the village that was surrounded in World War II. So anyway, she goes on, was his voice heard condemning to death those who did not accept him when he was slighted by the people of the Samaritan village? The Apostle John was filled with indignation and inquired, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Jesus looked with pity upon his disciple and rebuked his harsh spirit, saying, the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Luke 9, verses 54 and 6. That's not anywhere near what Catholicism teaches. I mean, she says, how different is the spirit manifested by Christ is that of his professed vicar, if you will. Give me some lightning. All right. She says, the Roman Church now presents a fair front to the world, covering with apologies her record of horrible cruelties. And now check this out. Does anybody have an idea as to when the Great Controversy was, when this one was written? The Great Controversy? The Mea Culpa. Yeah, 1888. Okay? So the Mea Culpa of John Paul II was March 25th, 2000. Or 1999. That's one of those times. When the Mea Culpa, his apology. And still, this woman's not a prophet. And I've been saying this for decades. Why he, well, not decades, you know, 16 years, 15 years. The reason he did that, he had no choice. Because now anybody, any Roman Catholic in any nation on earth, even if he doesn't have two nickels to rub together, can walk into an internet cafe and end up on a website like mine, where we can show them the truth about this church. But if the Pope went out there and apologized for what he did, well, then that's all off the record. The lights just flickered. Oh, no, that was okay. The air conditioning just kicked in. All right, so, and the reason I'm mentioning it is because, like I said, we got a tornado warning, and it's till... any violence yet. So she says, she has clothed herself in Christ-like garments, but she is unchanged. Every principle of the papacy that existed in past ages exists today. They're just a little bit better hidden. Thanks to technology, too. They still got their dungeons. I have no doubt in my mind they still got the rack. There's some of the guys that like the old school methods, right? Like Ratzinger and them. Those guys, I mean just... I mean, you don't have to have discernment of David to know when you look at that man what you see in his eyes. Or even Francis with those pictures, like the one where he's on the subway with the Masonic symbol of his hand inside his clothing. And the fact that he took the Jesuit oath, which part of the oath declares he will rip children's bodies out of the wombs of women with his bare hands and crush their infants' heads against the walls. Yeah, this loving Pope that everybody loves all around the world took that oath and said those words, that he will do that. And this is the vicar of Christ? No, this is that massive system of deception that got my eyes to bulge out of my head the first time I realized it as a Roman Catholic. I says, wow, that makes sense. Satan's got to have a place to set up shop on this planet, and what better place to do it than in what he would have everybody believe to be a church, to where he can actually make people think he's a Christian. The doctrines devised in the darkest ages are still held. Let none deceive themselves. The papacy that Protestants are now so ready to honor is the same that ruled the world in the days of the Reformation, when men of God stood up at the peril of their lives to expose her iniquity. And they're going to be doing it again soon. I mean, I still, you know, I haven't gotten one in years, but I have gotten my death threats. She says she possesses the same pride and arrogant assumption that lorded it over to kings and princes and claimed the prerogatives of God. Her spirit is no less cruel and despotic now than when she crushed out human liberty and slew the saints of the Most High. And the fact that Jesuits are going to stand before the Congress of the United States of America, the most corrupt nation on the planet, in just a couple days, is proof of that fact. That she does, this church does claim to have that power and over the kings and the princes of the world. Pope's going to say what he's going to say. And it has nothing to do with the blood red moons and all this utter falderall. You know, that's Jewish assumptions. Those are Jewish people that don't believe Jesus Christ is Messiah have put forth these strange Shemitahs and all these other things that they're putting out there declaring about the blood red. That's why I did that video about the blood red moons and stuff like that. But you know, I'm not going to base my Christian walk on something that is declared by a man who declares my Savior to be a demon-possessed man. Yeah, it's just Jewish propaganda. That's all it is. But it's based, it's Jewish propaganda, yeah, but it's also embraced by all the churches. All of them. Hey, Fran, is the siren going off in that little town nearby? Because if it is, we may have to get underground. Because we didn't pray.
Locations in Dunnington and Templeton, so it's coming by us. It said 4 minutes to be here.
Oh, it's heading this way?
Yeah, 4 minutes.
So. Yeah, I hear the siren.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the siren. So. All right, so I'm going to pause it here. So we may have to get in the basement here. So let me just shut off the recording here. I'll be back in a minute.